My account of Mrs. O.C. and Mrs. O.M., when it was published in 1985, seemed to have a wide resonance, and a number of people, after reading it, wrote in to the widely syndicated newspaper column, Dear Abby, to report that they too had experienced such hallucinations. Abby, in turn, asked me to comment on the condition in her column. I did this in 1986, stressing the benign non-psychotic nature of such hallucinations, and was surprised by the volume of mail that soon flooded in. Scores of people wrote to me, many of them giving very detailed accounts of their own musical hallucinations. This sudden influx of reports made me think that the experience must be much more common than I had thought, or than the medical profession had recognized. In the 20 years since, I have continued to receive frequent letters on the subject, and to see this condition in a number of my own patients. As early as 1894, W.S. Coleman, a physician, published his observations on hallucinations in the sane, associated with local organic disease of the sensory organs, etc., in the British Medical Journal. But notwithstanding this and other sporadic reports, musical hallucinations were considered to be very rare, and there was scarcely any systematic attention to them in the medical literature until 1975 or so. Wilder Penfield and his colleagues at the Montreal Neurological Institute had written famously in the 1950s and early 60s of experiential seizures, in which patients with temporal lobe epilepsy might hear old songs or tunes from the past, though here the songs were paroxysmal, not continuous, and were often accompanied by visual or other hallucinations. Many neurologists of my generation were strongly influenced by Penfield's reports, and when I wrote about Mrs. O.C. and Mrs. O.M., I attributed their phantom music to some sort of seizure activity. But by 1986, the torrent of letters I received showed me that temporal lobe epilepsy was only one of many possible causes of musical hallucination, and indeed a very rare one. There are many different factors that may predispose one to musical hallucinations, but their phenomena are remarkably unvarying. Whether the provocative factors are peripheral, such as hearing impairment, or central, such as seizures or strokes, there seems to be a final common path, a cerebral mechanism common to all of them. Most of my patients and correspondents emphasize that the music they hear seems at first to have an external origin, a nearby radio or television, a neighbor putting on a record, a band outside the window, whatever. And it is only when no such external source can be found that patients are compelled to infer that the music is being generated by their brain. They do not speak of themselves imagining the music, but of some strange autonomous mechanism set off in the brain. They speak of tapes, circuits, radios, or recordings in their brains. One of my correspondents called it his intracranial jukebox. The hallucinations are sometimes of great intensity. This problem is so intense it is wrecking my life, wrote one woman. Yet many of my correspondents are reluctant to speak of their musical hallucinations, fearing that they will be seen as crazy. I can't tell people because God knows what they would think, one person wrote. I have never told anyone, wrote another, afraid they would lock me in a mental ward. Others, while acknowledging their experiences, are embarrassed by the use of the term hallucination, and say they would be much more at ease with these unusual experiences, much readier to acknowledge them, if they could use a different word for them. And yet, while musical hallucinations all share certain features, their apparent exteriority, their incessancy, their fragmentary and repetitive character, their involuntary and intrusive nature, their particulars can vary widely. So, too, can their role in people's lives. Whether they assume importance or relevance, become part of a personal repertoire, or remain alien, fragmentary, and meaningless, each person, consciously or unconsciously, finds their own way of responding to this mental intrusion.